really fun to see what people have produced in their own homes and created with their own hands.
Northern Lynn Canal growers and artists gather for Skagway's first farmers market this weekend and honoring a decade of ambulance and fire call responses from one Haynes man. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. You probably know Jerry Blood from the Haynes Fire Department, or there's a good chance he's been to your house after accruing 10 years on the ambulance and fire crews as the full-time emergency medical technician and firefighter with the borough. But you might not recognize him as quickly anymore, because after this week, he won't be wearing his distinguishable dark blue uniform with embroidered name and suspenders. Jerry Blood retired on Tuesday after 10 years on staff at the Haynes Volunteer Fire Department.
I've had a lot of bad runs. I've had a lot of good runs. I've had good fires and bad fires. And I'm glad I could help people when I could, and I'm glad I've been available when I could.
Fire Chief Scott Bradford and other community members honored Blood at a retirement party at the fire hall on Tuesday afternoon.
Today is Jerry's last day as an employee of the Haynes Borough, but not his last day as a volunteer, as he's assured me he's going to hang out and stick around. We really appreciate Jerry's put in 10 long years of service with the borough and the fire department, and, you know, he's donated many hours at that time, and we really appreciate you, and we were going to miss you. You've helped keep our ship afloat.
Mayor Jan Hill echoed the gathered guests' appreciation for the years of hard work from the EMT, too, and presented a certificate to him at the party.
There's no way to thank you for the hours and the after hours and the before hours service that you provided to the residents of the Haynesboro. And this is just a small token, our Distinguished Service Award presented to Gerald Blood in appreciation for 10 years of dedicated service to the Haynesboro as EMT fireman. And when I saw 10 years, I think I argued, because I know you've been volunteering a lot longer than 10 years, but I still want you to have this. And my first thought was, he thinks he's retiring. I bet Barb has a list.
Blood started as a volunteer with the department in 1979 and with the Emergency Medical Service the following year. Before that, he was a meat cutter. He still does cut meat in town and says that'll be one of the many things he'd like to continue in his retirement in Haynes.
Barb and I have all kinds of plans involving mostly the kids, spending more time with them as it becomes available. I guess I just volunteered to work on the docks when the cruise ships are in, driving the people mover. I don't have a lot of set plans, but a lot of opportunities that are coming up, I think, and we'll see.
Al Batchley is the department's training officer. He's the other full-time position at the department and has been with the borough for more than 20 years, but longer as a volunteer. Besides the two jobs, the department has about 45 volunteers and a stipend-supported fire chief.
One of the things that's really going to be a challenge is the fact that Jerry has been kind of the rock of making sure that everything was where it should be and knowing where the equipment was, and if you needed something, if you got a hold of Jerry, it would get to you and it would be there in a rather expedient fashion. So he kind of knew where everything was, he knew how to work all the equipment. So to have somebody with that much experience to lead the paid staff is going to be challenging, but we also need to take in mind the fact that Jerry is not leaving the fire department. He's just leaving the paid staff. That doesn't mean that he won't be responding to calls, so he'll still be there doing what he does best and just making Haynes a better place for everyone.
The borough is conducting interviews on Thursday and Friday with three finalist candidates for the job. One candidate is a permanent Haynes resident, one is temporary, and the third currently lives in Juneau. A job offer is expected to be made by mid-September. As far as Brooke Jasky Zuber knows, this weekend's farmers market in Skagway is the first official one to happen in recent times.
I think it's going to be the first real farmers market in Skagway. Anna Marchant tried to put one together last year, but there just wasn't a whole lot of participation. So this, I guess, will officially be Skagway's first real farmers market.
It didn't take state senators, or a farm, or a committee, or even a nonprofit to make it happen. The first market, scheduled for this Saturday, grew out of the minds of a few motivated Skagway women.
Me and a handful of other ladies just kind of started getting together, let's see, like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we were discussing having a farmers market. And at first, we weren't sure when it was going to be or if it was even going to happen this year, but so far it's taken off the ground, so we're really happy that we're going to have one this year before the season ends.
Without a regular history of markets, Brooks says they were worried about filling the space, so they tried to appeal to area businesses and organizations, too, to set up booths for advertising. But it turns out many in town were as interested in a market as she was.
I was actually very impressed when we first started this. The first meeting was me and Anna Marchant and Jess. We just had our first meeting, and then it just kind of grew after that. The next meeting, I think we had 7, and then the next, we had one other person join. And from there, we've just been inviting vendors and telling people about it. And yeah, I was actually pleasantly surprised with how many people called me to reserve spots at our farmers market.
This is Brooke's third winter in Skagway. She's one of many Alaskans who are trying to make local foods a more central part of her lifestyle. There are currently 29 registered farmers markets in the state and a thriving Eat Alaska Grown campaign in most grocery stores.
I feel like farmers markets are very important for a community. They help bring it together, and they help, I mean, I think they're going to help bring the Southeast together a little bit as well, because we have people from Haines that are going to be coming over, and who knows who might come in the future. But yeah, and they're just, it's really fun to see what people have produced in their own homes and created with their own hands, and I think it's a really great experience, and I do really support eating locally. I think that's very important as well.
The state of Alaska has tried to encourage people statewide to eat more locally grown and produced food with the annual Alaska Grown Eat Local Challenge Week. That challenge, organized by the Division of Agriculture, was last week, but the ideals behind it are imperishable. Amy Pettit is a development specialist with the division.
The point of the Eat Local Challenge is just to raise some awareness and get some excitement behind encouraging consumers to purchase more Alaska grown during this particular week. Of course, we'd like folks to buy Alaska grown products all through the year, and especially during the peak of the growing season.
Brooke says the vendors at the Skagway market will represent mostly Skagway, with some from Haines. Anyone interested in having a booth or helping set up can call Brooke at 612-0767. But she guarantees that the products on sale and the live music are indeed local.
There's going to be a few people playing music. I know the Windy Valley Boys are playing, and the Steamrollers. Windy Valley Boys are playing from like 10 to 11:30. Steamrollers are playing, I believe, from 2:30 to 4. But besides that, there's going to be everything from veggies to T-shirts. A lot of people are bringing jewelry that they've made. I know one lady is bringing greeting cards. She's doing totes and keep safe boxes. And there's going to be handcrafted masks as well. There's some preserves and jellies and jams and bread and glass work. And I know one lady bringing origami earrings. It's all kinds of really cool stuff.
Pettit with the Division of Agriculture says, on the other hand, it can be hard to differentiate in other places, like grocery stores.
Most people don't know how they would know. They go to the grocery store, and most are shopping because of price consciousness. They're looking for the deal. What we're asking people is to look for the logo. A lot of products are labeled. Our Alaska grown milk is labeled. Our Alaska grown potatoes are labeled. Our Alaska grown carrots are labeled. But some of the products don't have packaging. The only way that you can know for sure if it is Alaska grown or not is to ask. So find that produce manager and ask them, is this broccoli Alaska grown? Are these tomatoes Alaska grown? Do you have any Alaska grown lettuce in the store? Your best bet is to ask. If you see the logo, you can be pretty confident that it's Alaska grown. But if there are products in the store that don't have the logo on them, we're really trying to educate consumers that they have to ask.
EatLocalAlaskaGrown.org includes a list of other farmers markets in Alaska. It also has an online survey that asks about the traits people look for in produce and the importance they place on local farms and agriculture. The first Skagway Farmers Market is this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. between 5th and 6th on State, north of the fire department. An organization dedicated to electing pro-choice women to elected offices across the country has started a campaign opposing the policies and candidates endorsed by former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. KDLG's Mike Mason has the details.
Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin has become a national political powerhouse with millions of supporters and perhaps millions of opponents. Recently, Palin's Political Action Committee, Sarah PAC, released a video that has sparked some controversy. The video is entitled Mama Grizzlies.
It seems like it's kind of a mom awakening in the last year and a half, where women are rising up and saying, no, we've had enough already, because moms kind of just know when something's wrong. here in Alaska, I always think of the mama grizzly bears that rise up on their hind legs when somebody's coming to attack their cubs, to do something adverse toward their cubs. You thought pit bulls were tough. Well, you don't want to mess with the mama grizzlies.
The video is basically a fundraising tool for Sarah PAC, which is dedicated to supporting candidates who share Palin's vision of reform and innovation. That video has sparked a response from the political organization called Emily's List, which was founded in 1985 with the goal of getting pro-choice women elected to office. The new Emily's List campaign is called Sarah Doesn't Speak for Me, and the organization produced their own video that features several women dressed in bear costumes.
You may think we're on the wrong track because we want to protect federal funding for our schools.
Protect our right to hibernate with whoever we choose.
But believe me, there are plenty of mama grizzlies out there who would disagree with you.
So you're right.
You don't want to mess with mama grizzlies.
Don't mess with us.
The new Sarah Doesn't Speak for Me campaign features an interactive website and will also include a targeted advertising campaign. Emily's List has helped raise money for hundreds of women candidates, including 80 pro-choice Democratic women who have been elected to the U.S. House and 15 who have been elected to the Senate since the organization was founded in the mid-1980s. You can take a look at the Emily's List video on the new website at sarahdoesntspeakforme.com. Palin's Mama Grizzlies video can be found at sarahpack.com.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS Local News.